Hello, my name is Mylene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of liberation, freedom, justice, peace, wellness, health, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since January 2015. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. I am super thrilled and very, very grateful that we are joined by Sally Zito. Sally Zito is joining us from Los Angeles, and Sally Zito is a vegan musician and a very powerful and wise animal rights activist. Welcome, Sally. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, Mylene, thank you so much for that nice intro, and it's so exciting to be here. I'm a fan of yours, and this is my first time on, and I'm just very happy.
Well, thank you, and I love your music, and your voice and your songwriting. All of it is spectacular, so we'll be hearing about that, and I'm also very interested in all your animal liberation activist work also. But first, can you please tell us a little bit more about yourself, Sally?
Sure, yeah. I grew up in an entertainment-minded family. I didn't grow up vegan, just wasn't awakened yet. We were all musicians just making our way. I grew up in Las Vegas. My dad managed bands there. He had been a conductor for Nat King Cole in New York and then started our family in Las Vegas. I took the mandatory lessons that every entertainment family sort of makes their children take. I'm so glad. I took drums and woodwinds and piano, and he would teach me arranging and orchestration at a young age. Then I went on to music college and have spent my life basically playing music. My mother was also a singer and my grandmother was a composer. So this was just the very likely path I would take in music.
Now, how did you become a vegan?
Right. How did I become a vegan? You know, I have a memory at 4 years old that my parents brought home a bucket of fried chicken. And I remember taking it out and inspecting it and seeing that I could see little hairs on it and that there were black nerves. I think it was a drumstick. And I handed it back to them and I said, I can't eat this. This is very gross to me. So even though I wasn't aware of what we do to animals, and I'm not even sure that I understood who a chicken was at that point, I did understand that eating flesh was just something that felt unnatural to me. Yeah, I didn't get to become a vegetarian yet because that just wasn't in my options as a young child. And until I was about 18 years old, when I finally said, wait, I'm living on my own. I can't do this. I don't want to eat flesh anymore. And I didn't drink milk. I didn't eat eggs, not because I had an understanding of how we exploit and use animals, but I just thought it was kind of gross. and so that was at 18 years old. And then it wasn't until probably when I was about 49 that I had a vegan awakening after visiting the farm sanctuary up in Acton, California. I was just vegetarian and of course visited with all the animals and considered myself a compassionate animal lover. There was a young lady activist there that day. I call her my vegan angel activist. She handed me a flyer because the next day there would be an animal save, a vigil outside of Los Angeles. Was it, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting. There was a slaughterhouse in Los Angeles. Do you remember the name of the slaughterhouse?
Yeah, was it Farmer John's?
Yes, okay. Yes. Farmer John's Slaughterhouse, which has since closed. But they would hold vigils there weekly where you could go and give the pigs water and sort of just witness them going into the slaughterhouse and take videos and try to show the world that these were individuals. And so this activist invited me to that while we were sitting at the farm sanctuary. And I thought, oh, that's too painful. I definitely couldn't go to a vigil and give pigs water and watch them go into a slaughterhouse. But I kept the flyer and it just sat with me over the next 2 days. I didn't end up going, but I felt like my mind split into two consciousnesses, the one that was living my life in my house, not going to the vigil, and the other one that somehow was aware that there were trucks on the road on their way to this vigil. And when it came to be that night, again, I was at home, I didn't go. And I realized that pigs were there and activists were giving them water. And then overnight, oh my gosh, all the pigs have been slaughtered. I woke up like a punch in the face. And I just woke up as a vegan activist. I thought, oh my God, what are we doing? We're doing this to all these animals. And it was kind of a very jarring, painful, extreme awakening. That's how I became a vegan.
We're joined by Sally Zito. Let's have a little musical interlude with her song, Still the Line.
Still the line. Stop the trucks. Freeze the production. Take them down off their hooks. Tell the knocker to put down his gun. Swing the gates up and let them all run. 'Cause today is the day that everyone claims that they
Thank you, Sally. And I have to tell you that I absolutely love your professional music, and I also love the song that is on one of your videos on your YouTube channel. So I'm curious if this is also on your Facebook page, Sally Zito Music. And the video I'm referring to is you with another man and a young child, and the three of you are singing Silent Night to a herd of bovines, cows. I don't know if they were cows or heifers or bulls or steers. And it was so beautiful.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, that was my brother and my godson, Mars. And we were driving, I believe we were in Missouri, as they say. And we passed a herd of cows. And I said, can we please stop and sing to them? Because in my experience, cows really just respond to singing. And sure enough, they came right over. It was such a beautiful experience.
Yes, it was. And it was obvious to me that those cows were in a animal exploitation situation. It wasn't a sanctuary because you could see the yellow tags. And so to see them standing still and listening to you and watching you just brought so much joy. And I really believe power and peace also. So thank you to you and your godchild and your brother also.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, and you're so right that they were, I don't know where they were destined or when, but I also noticed the tags in their ears. That was definitely not a sanctuary.
Well, thank you, Sally. I am very happy to hear that you are an organizer for the Los Angeles chapter of DXE, Direct Action Everywhere. Can you please tell us about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, Direct Action Everywhere is an organization that I knew about when I turned vegan back in 2017, and I started checking them out. So it's been 7-8 years, and I just really find them to have such an interesting and effective approach to their actions. their theory of change is to change and maybe knock down some dominant institutions that kind of prop up animal exploitation. They do open rescues where they'll go, they will investigate perhaps a factory farm or a farm. And if they find that there are animals there in need of medical care, they will openly rescue them, not hide their faces, and videotape it and then show the world, this is what's going on in this farm. And we were able to rescue these animals. These stories are very powerful. And often activists will be taken to court and they will tell the animals' stories to a jury. So I just found that very provocative early on and thought, okay, this is where I think I want to put my time and focus as far as working towards animal liberation. So last year, the beginning of 2025, I became an organizer. I do now organize with the Los Angeles chapter. We've revitalized the Los Angeles chapter. I think it was on pause for a year or two after the previous organizer moved away. And we are thriving here. And it's very good work. And I'm so happy that I got over my insecurity.
Wow. Wow. Yes, you are very courageous and brave. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we go into discussing more of the actions for animal liberation, I'm curious about your songwriting. So you became a vegan in 2017. Is that when your music also reflected that?
Right. Yes. Well, I want to say that in 2017, the pain of the very first beginnings of my awakening, and from what I understand, other people sometimes have a painful awakening where it's painful just because we see the truth and we realize our hand in it initially before we start taking action. So the fact that that was so painful, it sort of kept me away from songwriting about animal liberation. It was like, it was too intense of a subject to even understand how to put it into musical notes. I know some people, just any amount of pain or any even things that they go through daily, they can just throw it into their songs. But I've always been a person where if it's extremely painful or extremely relevant, I sort of have to sit and let it settle for a while before I can walk to the piano and even make sense of what I'm feeling. So I want to say it took me at least a year or maybe more to start to put these complex subjects into my music. And once I did, it of course started pouring out like a floodgate. And now honestly, that's just almost all I can write about is in some fashion, either animals or what's going on with wild animals or the climate or what we're doing to the world or what it will be like when we have the world, the liberated world that you describe in your beautiful intro to this show. So just everything centered around those subjects. That seems to be all I can write anymore.
We're listening to Sally Zito, who's joining us from Los Angeles. You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Sally Zito. This is her song, Come to Me.
Come to me. Come to me. I will hold you. Come to me. Thank you.
Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're joined for an interview with Sally Zito, a vegan musician and activist in Los Angeles. She is also the organizer of the Los Angeles chapter of DXE, Direct Action Everywhere. Thank you, Sally. And now I'd love to hear more about the liberation activities, especially a recent one involving Zoe.
Yes, absolutely. So Zoe is a young activist in Berkeley, California, who recently went on trial for rescuing four chickens from a factory farm facility in Petaluma, California. And Zoe had, through investigations, found that they had very high rates of criminal abuse to animals. Then she also saw evidence through investigations that even some of these animals were being boiled alive, because the way that they would go through the slaughter line would be chickens are hung upside down, they go through a stung bath, they get their throat slit, and then they're dumped into boiling water in order for their feathers to come out easier. But what happens is chickens, of course, are so, as all animals are, they're so astute and wise, and they see what's going on, and they see the blade coming, and they duck out of the way. So they duck out of the way of the stun bath often, and they duck out of the way of the blade often. And this means that they can fall into the boiling vat of water alive. So from that, she and a group of rescuers went in, knowing that all of these birds were in terrible shape, to do more investigation, but also to rescue in case she found any. And of course she did, and she rescued four birds. And I'd like to just say their names, because that's so important. They're individuals. They were Aster, Ivy, Petunia, and Poppy. And of course, I say of course, but she brought all of the investigation evidence to law enforcement and to the various organizations that are responsible for investigating these things, and nothing was done before this. And that's why she went in and rescued. And Sonoma County, instead of investigating this animal cruelty, chose to arrest her. And she went through a trial. It just happened last September. I think there were four charges. And she went in front of a jury and told the stories of these animals best she could, but actually so much evidence was disallowed to be shown to the jury. So they didn't really get the full picture, and they came to the conclusion that she was guilty, and she got jail time for this. She's still serving part of a 90-day sentence. Right now she's on house arrest. And even still, after all of this, the county is not investigating the criminal animal cruelty for which they have evidence, massive amounts of evidence. And it's so maddening that this is how this went down. It's maddening that Zoe went to jail, because obviously she's not the criminal. Rescuing animals in need is not a crime. But this is how it went down, and this is where we are right now.
Thank you, Sally. And if I remember correctly in reading something about that, her house arrest also involves that she cannot have visitors, friends, or family members to her house?
That's what I understand. I understand she can't have any visitors to her house. Seems very isolating. I think I read she gets a couple of hours to go to a grocery store.
It is mind-boggling to think that all of the practices, just awful practices that go on in the animal exploitation industries, that the public are not allowed to see anything. And yet the whole humanity just accepts it. Billions of animals in the slaughterhouses, and yet the public never sees any of the footage, either audio or visual. It kind of shows that humanity is enslaved, because only slaves would be treated that way and also accept it. That's what I think.
Oh, that is such a huge observation. I think you're absolutely right. I spend so much time just thinking on what are the psychological mechanisms that allow us to seem like we don't care. And I think you're right. Since we don't see it, it's all too easy to put it away and not want to see it. It's so sad.
And what was the reaction of activists, actually not just throughout the United States, but worldwide, as a result of Zoe's trial and sentencing.
Yes. I mean, if we think that these trials are really to make sure that the public doesn't see what's going on in there, to your point, I think the industry knows how threatening that is. If regular people actually see that these are individuals and see what's going on behind these closed doors, then it will really be a big threat to their money-making regime of exploitation. So I think a lot of what these court cases are is the state trying to basically deter other activists, use Zoe as an example, make sure the information doesn't get out there. And what can happen is if people see that, if they see state repression, they can become afraid and no longer act. But luckily, that's not what happened. Activists the world over began rescuing more. So I think on day one of Zoe's incarceration in Australia, I believe it was Australia, they rescued 130 chickens in solidarity with Zoe, saying rescue is not a crime. And in solidarity, we've rescued all these chickens. And then either the next day or soon after, 50 more birds were rescued, I think in Paris, but I may have the numbers wrong. And basically what happened is all over the world and in the United States, every single day of her incarceration, there was one or more rescue. Basically people saying, no, you can't scare us with incarceration. I mean, that is scary, but we won't stop rescuing. This is the right thing to do. So yeah, every day there was a rescue, and I was involved in a rescue also in solidarity with Zoe on her 10th day of incarceration.
Is that something you can share with us?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you.
Yes, and actually these beautiful beings are just 20 feet from me right now. I still have them with me. We went, myself and a team, we tried multiple times. This one was successful. We just knew that we wanted to show other people, show the world, show Sonoma County that we will not be deterred. We believe this is the right thing to do. There are so many animals that need help. So what we did is we went one evening and we waited for a truck. Now these trucks come from farms and they have sometimes thousands of birds on them. And these birds are in drawers that are stacked up high. They're very open. It's not inside of a truck. So there are kind of like all these holes in these trays, and birds are packed in so tight on these trucks and in these trays that when the truck arrives, you can just see like a foot sticking out and feathers mushed up against the cage and a face and an eye. There's just so many birds in one tray, but it's really horrific. We knew that they had been driving for 2 hours and it was just about midnight. And so it was very cold out. If you could imagine going 60 miles an hour on a freeway with your face up against a plastic tray with holes in it. So these birds, of course, were very shaken. And the truck driver pulled up to basically a live market. These are places where you come in and you say, I would like 3 fresh birds, that word fresh. And then I believe they go in the back and perhaps pick out which ones they want and they slaughter them right there. And those birds leave in a plastic bag. So we're standing outside that facility. Here comes the truck full of birds. The truck driver comes out of the car. And our team went up and said, we want to know if you could surrender some birds to us. We would love you to surrender birds. Let one bird live, one or two birds live. Could you do this? And we negotiated with him. And this beautiful person saw that, I don't know what he thought or why he said yes, but he said yes. And he went around and he got one bird and handed it to my teammate. And then we said, please, can we have 2? So this bird is not alone. And he said, yes. And we got 2 and we put her in I have this square backpack, and we were just beside ourselves. Here we are standing next to a truck full of birds who are just about to go into a horror story nightmare. And these 2 birds that we named Aurora and Tulip are now going to be able to live their lives safe and in peace at a sanctuary. So we quickly thanked him and got away. I was already going to watch these birds, and I took them home. I'm quarantining them just to make sure that they are okay, and before we introduce them into a larger population in a sanctuary. So just so thrilled for them.
Beautiful, beautiful. Aurora and Tulip.
Yes.
Oh, that is beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Sally. Well, we're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners, and also any of your social media sites?
Right. If people are interested in getting involved in Direct Action Everywhere and rescues, they can go to directactioneverywhere.org and find their local chapter. There's chapters all over the United States and some international chapters, and they can get hooked into what actions and what type of rescues. I also want to mention that Wayne Shung and the simpleheart.org, he is also having a potential open rescue for beagles that are stuck in a beagle testing facility. So they can get in touch with the simpleheart.org. And if anyone wants to get in touch with me, I'm on Facebook. My Facebook page is Sally Zito Music, and I'd be happy to respond to anyone else.
Thank you very much, Sally, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you so much.
And much thanks to our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Again, much thanks to my guest, Sally Zito, for joining us on Vegan Nation and for her beautiful music. Let's go out with her song, Biggest Night of Your Life. This is Marlene in Massachusetts wishing you a lovely, peaceful, joyous day.
It's the biggest night of your life. Come to take you home. Trembling to leave this hell behind. It's all you've ever known. What's outside the door? You can't. Stay inside, you'll be singing the choir of ends. Ooh, say goodbye now. Trust, focus on my eyes. Don't ask why or how. There's no guarantee. You'll make it out alive. We gotta try, rescued or rendered. It's the biggest night of your life.
And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene in Massachusetts wishing you a good day.